Good morning and welcome everybody. I am Uma, your host, with Parija Deshpande here, who is founder of My Sahana. You are listening into Women Now Hour on Radio Zindagi. A little preview to Parija is she founded a non-profit organization called My Sahana, and the whole mission of that non-profit organization is to raise awareness about mental health and well-being, and specifically in South Asian community. So I'm going to give the floor to Parija. Parija, welcome to the show.
Hi, Uma. Thanks for having me.
You are welcome. You are so welcome. We are so glad that you could make it. Parijat, let's just go bang on with the topic. What is the big deal about mental health awareness that you're trying to do with the South Asian community? Why is it so important?
Well, it's important because mental health issues exist across cultures, across races, across ages, continents. It's everywhere. And in my experience being part of the clinical psychology community, is I realized that not only does the clinical psychology and mental health field not really know much about South Asians, but there seems to be a lot of misunderstanding about what mental health is in the South Asian community as well. And there's definitely a need, but I don't see the connection between the need and the services. And I thought maybe if I started My Sahana, we can be that education, that forefront to say, here's the information and here's how we can help you reach the resources that you need.
So is your My Sahana organization only for people who are in need, or is it for people who can help the other, their family member or friends or somebody who they notice is having some issues and they can help?
It's absolutely, our main focus is preventative. So we want to educate people as much as possible to live as healthy of a life as possible so that it doesn't get to a point where you're in dire need of services. If it does happen that you find yourself in a crisis or you find yourself really needing services, we are absolutely there for that as well. But our hope is that we can educate the community about signs and symptoms and provide tips on the forefront so that we can live a healthy life and we can help each other live healthy lives and make good decisions about our overall health, physical and emotional.
So, Parijat, you mentioned that during your studies, you noticed there is a big disconnect between mental health and the issues that are faced by South Asian communities. So what was the disconnect? Is it that people are not aware of it, or they are not seeking help, or there are different tools and techniques to address the specific issue of a specific particular demographic?
I would say all three, actually.
Oh.
Yeah. Number one, as I mentioned earlier, the mental health field, I don't think, understands what the South Asian culture is like very well. There's very specific things about our culture, the way that we live, our relationships with our families and our friends and our values, that don't quite fit in with the traditional model of therapy and the clinical psychology theories that are out there. On the flip side, I found that when I entered the field, I would have people come to me from the back channels and say, you know, I have this problem or this is what's going on, but I don't know what to do about it. And when I would suggest, have you considered counseling, the first question, which I was very surprised about from a lot of people, was, what is that? What exactly do you do in counseling? Which is a very fair question, because if you've never done it, how would you know? But I thought I was very surprised that that was the first question. I hadn't realized that. And so I wanted to provide that information of, let's take the stigma off of what counseling could be and talk about what it actually is. And then on top of all of that, I think there's a lot of different ways that counselors and other service providers can help South Asians that's specific to who we are as people, fitting in with our culture and relationships, that's much more effective than what we are kind of seeing that fits more with the Western model.
So Parijat, you raised a really good point, the stigma of seeking help. This is so prevalent in the South Asian community. Even if somebody thinks that, oh, there is something wrong with me, I'm not feeling well, I'm not reacting to the situations around me properly, there is only two distinctions. Either you're normal or you're crazy.
Right.
There isn't anything like, if you're crazy, then you need to be in a mental institution.
Right.
And if you're normal, then you're normal. It's every day, it's the way you live life. Things go up and down and you handle with it.
Yeah.
But there is a that is the big disconnect.
Yeah.
And that is where you are trying to raise awareness to say normal people, crazy people, I don't mean it in any derogatory term. What I mean is that people who are in serious need and people who have just certain issues that cropped up in their life and that they need help dealing with.
Exactly. And what is normal anyway?
Yeah, what you is know? Normal anyway? I know. All of us are a little crazy. I'm a little crazy once in a while.
Right. And it's like you said, I mean, there's a definitely a spectrum of need. You know, I could be having a really difficult time because maybe I got laid off from my job or I'm going through a divorce. And those are very real issues that people are going through. Or maybe I'm just stressed out in my marriage, or, you know, my child is having trouble in school and I need help, or my child himself seems to be having trouble. These are all very day-to-day kind of things. Or you can go even farther and have some, you know, maybe more serious depression or anxiety or even more serious mental health issues like obsessive compulsive disorder, schizophrenia. It's a spectrum of need. And what we want to show is that all of that is within I would say normal.
Yeah.
This is how we are as humans, and we have different needs at different times, and everybody requires different kinds of help. And that's what we're here to do, is to provide that information so that people feel comfortable to say, okay, today or this week or this month, I'm realizing I do need some kind of help. Where can I go? We ask them to turn to My Sahana. We give them the information about whatever it is that they're seeking, and once they realize that they might need to talk to somebody or connect with a specialist, then we are there to find them the right one.
Right, because most of the time you don't really need to talk to a counselor. There are so many self-help, I would say tips and workshops that you can do on your own, read books that can help you with situations, but you should come to a point where you need to realize that, okay, this is something that I really need a counselor to help me.
Absolutely. And our main point is you can either continue to live that way and be kind of stuck under the shoulds of, I shouldn't talk to somebody, I shouldn't say anything, I should be able to handle this by myself. Or you can reach out to a group of us, and I think we're very friendly people, and we can help you actually live a happier life and a healthier life, because the shoulds become very oppressive.
Right.
And instead, if we can find a way to live a healthier life, it's much more freeing. And you can enjoy your day-to-day activities a lot more that way.
Right. And the should is also controlled by the stigma.
Absolutely.
It's like, how can I go and talk to somebody about this particular phase in my life where I'm having issues? I have grown up, I am grown up, I've gone through college and university, and I have this degree and that capability, and I should be able to handle it. But the problem is that there's so many times while growing up, even as a child and even as a parent, we don't have the tools and techniques to teach kids or to help ourselves.
Yeah.
We can understand that there is a problem. So many times we want to ignore the problem.
Mm-hmm.
And even if we acknowledge the problem, the stigma is there.
Absolutely.
You cannot go. And if you do go, and God forbid somebody finds out about it, and then because of the societal taboo, you're a laughing stock.
Right, absolutely. And I think what we want to do is create a dialogue and say, hey, you're not the only one that's going through X, Y, or Z. There are plenty of other South Asians that look and feel and talk and behave just like you. And it's okay to talk about these things.
I know. The main point you said, you're not the only one.
Yeah.
And there are a few issues. We'll go into some issues one by one. There are a few issues which are so generic, but whenever you are in a situation, you feel like you're in a corner, you're the only one, and you cannot believe this is happening to you.
Right. Right. And the more stressful the situation is, the more isolating it feels.
The more isolating it feels.
Absolutely.
So it is so important for you to know at this point that you're not the only one, and there are people who are going to give you a helping hand.
Absolutely. And in the end, everybody's happier for it.
Right. Right. Yeah. So, Parijat, how about you give us an example of some of the unique problems that South Asians face?
Well, I think there's a number of them that we could talk about. On one end, I would say my specific background is in depression and grief. And in the research that I had done, I found that South Asians actually exhibit symptoms of depression, and we're starting to see actually more of the mental health issues. They exhibit them differently. So in the Western community, depression is exhibited by sadness and feeling down and possibly crying, not interested in activities. The number one symptom of depression in South Asians we found is headaches. And number two is backaches. And number three is stomach aches, which the South Asians, we may not recognize as symptoms of depression. Doctors may not recognize as symptoms of depression. You might be taking this Tylenol and Advil and all these medications, and you're actually not treating the problem. On the other end, also, we find that South Asians have a lot more relational symptoms of any kind of issue. So instead of coming to a counselor and saying, I think I'm dealing with anxiety, what we see a lot of South Asians presenting with is, I'm having trouble with my mother-in-law, and I'm having a really difficult relationship with her, or I am not getting along with my husband very well. So we see a lot of kind of relational symptoms like that, and when we dig a little deeper, we find that, okay, there might be some kind of mental health issue going on that we can then address either individually or within that relationship.
So on that topic, a lot of relational issues that you talked about, it is very unique. There are certain issues that are very, very unique to South Asian community.
Sure.
And if you go to an organization that doesn't understand the relationship between a mother-in-law and a daughter-in-law, or a husband and a wife, and a daughter-in-law with a whole big joint family, or not even just the in-laws, just you as an immigrant.
Sure, exactly.
In a culturally different environment.
Exactly, that's exactly what I was going to
say. And it's difficult for somebody who has not grown in a different culture to immediately understand that there is this cultural assimilation issues that you're having that you need to address. They don't know that. Unless, they may have a superficial theory knowledge, but without having lived in those circumstances, it's difficult to connect.
Absolutely. And there's three different levels of that. There's the immigrant who comes here. There's the children of the immigrant who lives and is grown up and is raised in an entirely different culture than the parents grew up in. And then there's the generation above that, the grandparents, who then are brought here at an older age. And all three of them have to assimilate, all in three different ways.
Parijat, we are going to take this discussion further after a short break. Listeners, you are listening to Women Now on Radio Zindagi. It's a live show. You can call us at 510-770-1550. We're going to take a short break and come back to mental health. Welcome back to Women Now Hour on Radio Zindagi. This is your host, Uma, and we have Parijat in our studio today. We are talking about mental health and awareness and well-being in South, particularly in South Asian community. But if you are not within the community, please feel free to call in. We'll be taking calls, and we'll be addressing some of the issues which are very common in our day-to-day life. It's something that we all deal with. Some part of depression, some part of anxiety, some stress. All of us go through that, but most of us do not think that there is a way to deal with it. There are, other than just being strong and face it, and it's a phase of life and it's going to go over, other than the usual wisdom that people generally assume or talk about, we don't really understand and we don't really do anything about it if there is something that is going wrong in our life. And My Sahana, that Parijat has founded, is doing exactly that, is giving people tools and tips and avenues to come and explore and seek help. It doesn't have to be a big, major issue in your life. It could be a small thing, something that you're facing temporarily, that may be a clash between parent and a teenage child. Right, Parijat?
Absolutely.
Or it could be Michael who gets harassed, our producer Michael who gets harassed by these RJs and guests, and they keep coming and they keep bringing him in, and he doesn't know how to deal with that stress. Right, Michael? So there are few things that are so common, and everybody feels that. Maybe there is something going on with your boss at work. and you need help with. You need to talk to somebody other than talking to your spouse or partner or friend. Sometimes it manifests like Parijat mentioned. In South Asian particularly, it manifests as back pain, headache, and stomachache.
Right.
And those are the things that we just treat the symptoms. We don't treat the root cause.
Exactly.
And so, Parijat, tell me one thing, that how does it work? If suppose I'm having an issue with my teenage child, and I don't know how to get across to him and her, and I don't know what to do, what can I do? What am I looking for when I visit My Sahana?
On My Sahana, we have a few resources. We have a monthly newsletter called My Mantra that comes out with numerous tips and ideas and articles. Our main website has articles that are published regularly on a wide variety of topics. So if you are a parent with a teenage child, you can look up articles on signs and symptoms of issues with your teenager,
so,
or how to parent.
Give me an example. What are the signs and symptoms of a teenage parent conflict?
So very commonly in adolescence, we see the teenagers become very reclusive. They don't really like to talk anymore. The parents who used to be superheroes are now, they don't know anything.
They're not cool enough.
They're not cool anymore. Exactly. And they turn more towards their peers than they do their family, which is absolutely developmentally supposed to happen. That's the way that we're designed to be. Unfortunately, we're also at that age very reckless, and we don't think very far ahead, and that's also how we're supposed to be.
It's because the neurons are not connected completely.
We're just not done growing yet. Exactly. So we have this conflict where the teenagers want to assert independence. Maybe they have their driver's license. Now they're saying, I can drive anywhere, and just overall want to try to spread their wings, but they're still not quite ready to leave and be independent yet. And so parents and teens kind of butt heads on that, you know, saying, no, you must do it this way. And the teen saying, I don't want to do it this way anymore. And just what used to work as a family suddenly isn't working anymore. And so the parents are kind of at a loss of, my child has turned into something else. How do I do this? And, you know, teens are kind of saying the same things. Where did my parents go, who I used to really like? So we see a lot of, you know, we work on, we have articles on how to communicate best with your teen, how to have a conversation so that you're getting still the necessary points across, you're showing and expressing the values that you want to teach them, while also teaching them how to listen and communicate and also open up to parents as well. One of the strongest predictors of a future good relationship with parents and their children is how they communicate in those teenage years. And the more open and comfortable the teen feels with you, number one, the more you're going to feel comfortable knowing what's going on in their life. And two, you're going to be able to step in whenever they need help, even if they don't know how to ask for it.
It's almost like you have to start when they're really young, and you have to keep telling them that I'm here for you, I love you, even if I say no, it's still because I love you.
Exactly.
Right.
And there's words, and then there's actions.
Actions.
And it's amazing from such a young age how much children pick up by just watching you. So if you wish for your child to communicate with you in a certain way, openly, honestly, and compassionately, it's not only that you have to tell them to do that, but you have to model it.
You have to speak to them like that.
You have to speak to them like that. They have to see you speaking to other people like that. Your spouse, your other children, your other family members, your friends. That's how we learn how to communicate.
So the bottom line is, if you want to have an easy relationship with your teenage, you need to have a good relationship with everybody around you. My God, that's a Herculean task. There are days and times where I don't want to be nice. And I'm like, I'd really hope my child's not watching me at that point, because there are certain situations that you just cannot help it.
Exactly. And, you know, those are actually such amazing learning opportunities for your children, too, because they see how you problem solve. They see that, okay, it is normal to feel angry some days. It is normal to feel frustrated. And this is how I'm going to resolve that. Some parents can exhibit that by working it through. Maybe they talk it through with their child. This is how I came to the decision to calm down. maybe they'll see you exercise to see that this is how you release steam, for example.
You're saying it's okay to sometimes discuss your... Because a lot of the times, especially in South Asian community, and I would think universally, parents try to protect their child as much as they can from the stress that they are going through at work or personal or outside. What is the delicate balance where you don't want to expose them too much, take away their innocence and their childhood, at the same time make them aware of things that are around you? Like, there has to be a certain balance. There has to be a fine line.
Definitely. You want to give them the information that's appropriate for their age level. So what you tell a 6-year-old is going to be very different than what you tell a 16-year-old versus your adult child, right? So, you know, if let's say you're having an issue with your spouse, that tension is palpable even to an infant,
right,
who cannot speak yet.
Oh, my gosh.
And they can tell, and they exhibit it. They cry more. They are fussy more. They sleep less. They have eating problems. They show symptoms. They can tell that there's an issue. So obviously, an infant, you're not going to be able to explain this, but a little bit older child, maybe in elementary school, you don't have to get into the specifics of what's going on with your spouse, but you can tell, talk, sit them down and talk to them about, you know, I know things have been a little bit tense. How are you feeling? Are you okay? I want to let you know that me and your mommy or your daddy love you very much. And increase that dialogue, start the dialogue of how are they doing and find out how it's affecting them. And then let them know that, you know, when I get frustrated, daddy gets frustrated, I'm sure you get frustrated. You know, when you didn't get your chocolate last week, you got frustrated. How can we handle that better? And talk them through about different ways of coping in a healthy way, as opposed to showing them you might want to punch a wall, but it's not a very good way to cope with frustration.
Maybe you can go close the room, close the door, and punch a wall.
right.
Because you need to let it out.
Exactly. And then you come back when you're a little calmer and you talk them through. These are some really nice and healthy ways that you can deal with your frustration, because everybody feels that.
Yeah, so, you know, Parija, there are a few things that I wanted to mention. This is one very funny incident. Recently, I was at a gathering and this mom was talking about how I get angry sometimes. And sure enough, there's a 5-year-old child who immediately said, "Mama, drink water. Don't get angry. Just drink water." And I remember that was the joke we used to have, or the wisdom we used to have. If you're really angry, fill your mouth with water, count to 10, gulp it down, and then address the issue.
That's beautiful.
So that was just so funny. We were blown away. The child, really small child, said, "Mama, just drink water and calm down."
There you go. So from such a young age, kids pick up.
They have a different way of looking things. They also understand. Sometimes they articulate things so much nicely.
So well,
to let you know that these are small things that don't matter. But at the same time, like you said, you didn't get chocolate last week, and so it's a big issue.
It's a big deal.
It's a big deal. It immediately puts you down from the hero to you're not good enough to be my parent. And that's when we need to let them know that we are always there, no matter what. Even if we are saying no, we still love you, and we say no because we love you.
Exactly. And when they see that the whole situation play out, there's tension, there's a cause of stress, and then the resolution of it, and everything goes back to normal, there's a sense of safety that they learn, is that these negative emotions will happen. They are okay to experience, they're okay to express in a healthy manner, and they do go away once they are managed properly. So they don't feel the sense of insecurity that when there's tension, there's always tension and I'm never going to feel comfortable. It comes and goes in waves, and that's just part of life. And that's, if you can instill that from a very young age, they're going to grow up with very healthy ways of coping with whatever life throws at them.
So there was one point I wanted to add in there, that what I have experienced in my life also, at times when there are things that are going so wrong and you're trying your best to deal with it, but there comes a point where you realize that it's better to walk away.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes you cannot solve all your problems in life.
Nope.
There are few problems that when you take a larger picture and you say, you know what, this is not worth my time and energy.
Yeah.
And that's something that we need to teach younger generation also, that maybe there are stress that is happening to them in school or academics or anywhere. They're trying their best, but in life there are certain situations when you realize that you need to walk away. Mm-hmm. You cannot solve each and every problem in life.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's, I think, again, where my Sahana comes in is we can help identify through our articles, through our newsletter, through our podcasts that we have now coming up monthly or bi-monthly, that these are common experiences that so many people go through. Every parent has extremely frustrating issues. Maybe your specific issues are different, but the emotions and the experiences are the same. Everybody goes through marital or relationship issues. Everybody has stress. Everybody goes through very low points in their life. So we kind of walk you through, these are the signs when it's very common and okay, and these are the signs when maybe you might want to consider getting additional help. Talking to friends and family or your spouse or your neighbors is excellent. It's much better than not talking to anybody. But there's another layer that professionals can provide who are trained in learning in how to help you kind of navigate these really complicated issues that you may not know what to do about, your friends may not know what to do about, and we can kind of guide you through finding that balance again in your life. And the when you come to My Sahana's website, if you identify that you might need that extra help, that's when we have people call us or email us and say, what do we do next? And we then connect you with somebody who's appropriate that can guide you to where you want to go.
Parijat, this is also very exciting. We have to take a short break, but we are going to talk again, what are the specific signs and what is it that we need to look out for in terms of dealing stress with society, then in terms of dealing stress as an individual, and then in terms of dealing stress as a parent. Those are the three things we're going to talk about. You can call us at 510-770-1550. This is your host, Uma, with Women Now Zindagi. We'll be back. Don't go anywhere. Welcome back. You are listening to Women Now Hour. This is your host, Uma, and we have Parijat from My Sahana in our studio here. And Parijat, like I was just telling you, there's something that I had read a long time ago, and listeners, I do not recommend this, but just to be on the humorous side, I forget the dots. If somebody remembers, you can call me. There was a very well-known personality's mom, and he was talking about how well he was raised by his parents and how his mom was an awesome mom. And then when he was all grown up, his mom told him the trick. It's like he or she asked, how did you deal with all of us doing that? It's like, what do you think I was doing when I took a break in the bedroom every now and then? I'd have my glass of wine and I'll come back all relaxed. So we do not recommend you to handle stress with alcohol, but there are tips and tools that you need to do. So first of all, I think forgetting about the alcohol issue, just relaxing.
Yeah, well, I was actually going to take it in a different direction. Relaxing, yes, absolutely. Sometimes that's hard to do. And I think what I would take away from that really humorous example is that taking some time to do something for yourself.
Right.
No matter where you are in life, doing something that balances you, centers you, makes you happy, even if it's for 5 minutes. You can be the busiest person in the world, 5 minutes or 2 minutes even. And I think that's one thing that comes in with the South Asian community. It's very hard for us to do that.
Very hard. Because we never think of ourselves.
Exactly. We're always other-centered. Let me take care of other people. How is everybody else doing? And that's excellent. And it's one of the biggest, strongest points that I think we have is how community oriented we are. I think one of the drawbacks of that is then we lose ourselves. And the more we push forward, we don't realize we're losing steam. And so taking those 2 minutes, and like we said, alcohol probably isn't the best way to do it. But exercise, getting a massage, maybe going to a football game if that's what relaxes you, anything like that that just brings you a little bit back to center, is you're going to get a different perspective on the situation that you're in.
Yeah, right. Because once we are all grown up, we surround ourselves with so many responsibilities and relations that we forget that beyond being a mom or a dad or an employee or a boss or producer of a show like Michael here, beyond all of these roles, there is you.
Yeah.
And that that you just need 5 minutes of nurturing.
Absolutely.
And like many times we tell our kids, okay, you know what? You need to go to your room and think about what you've done.
Yeah.
Sometimes we just need to do that. You know what? I think I'm really stressed, and it's okay to let your parent child know that you're really stressed about it, and it's okay if you don't have a solution right away.
Yeah.
It's okay to let them know, you know what? I'm going to think about it. I'm going to just take 5 minutes break. I need to chill, and then we'll talk about
it. Exactly.
We don't have to appear we are superpowers all the
right,
time.
Right, right.
We don't have all the answers. We don't have all the solutions. Maybe all we need is just a moment to relax, to think things over within ourselves, and then energize and go back and handle the situation again.
Exactly.
So, Parijat, we will also like to talk about what is the cultural assimilation issues that you have noticed that immigrants have?
It's tough.
It's tough.
It's very difficult. It definitely depends on the age of immigration, of course. The younger you are, the easier it becomes because you've been here longer. But it's hard because the South Asian culture, where whatever country in South Asia that you're from, coming to America or another Western country, it almost, I would say, it could not be more different. The culture, the lifestyle, the values, it's just very, very different. And what we find is you come from a country or a lifestyle where there's a lot of people around you, and there is a community, and everybody knows each other. And maybe that comes with its own drawbacks.
Yeah, everybody knows your problem. The entire neighborhood knows what's going on.
Right, right. And you come here, and it's the exact opposite. Is nobody knows anybody, and neighbors are kind of doing their own thing, and you don't really know when anybody leaves their house, or you hardly see them going in and out of their homes or on the streets, and it's very, very isolating. And we see that when immigrants come here, especially within the first year or so, there's a very high incidence of depression because of that isolation. That social support is gone. The community feeling is gone. Sometimes you feel displaced and you don't know where you belong anymore. Sometimes, and it can even come from a very practical issue as a visa issue, and you may not be allowed to work anymore. You may have been extremely successful back home. You come here, you're not allowed to work anymore. What do I do with my life? Where do I belong? What do I do? Where is my value? And I don't have friends, and I don't have family. And so definitely the incidence of depression, of anxiety, and it is higher at that time, and we see it presenting through body symptoms.
Parijat, you've just charted my life here. I'm sure so many of us would understand that. I was working, I was by myself in India, and I get married and I come here and I have no visa.
Yeah.
And I have never stayed at home, and it was so hard for me. And my first impression was, all you see here is cars.
Cars.
You don't see people.
No people.
Oh my God, like cars and cars, and how many more cars you can see.
Yeah.
And so my first request was, please take me to a place where I can see people.
Yeah.
I just need to see human beings. I'm tired of just seeing the cars.
Absolutely.
I'm tired of seeing just the buildings.
Yeah.
And you feel all of a sudden that, oh my God, everything, the land of opportunity, everything is aside. But if you don't have the human connection,
yes,
if you don't have the society, the friendship and the neighborhood, that connection, it is very isolating.
Yeah, and this is true even if you're not an immigrant. That connection is very, very important.
Yes.
And it keeps our well-being in check. And this is even more so now when you come from a place where that was there and suddenly it's taken away from you.
So now we want to talk about, as a family, what is the key symptoms or issues that you see that people need help with?
I would say there's two. One is the marriage piece, and the other is the parenting piece. So the marriage piece, we find that it's very important for a couple to have a very strong relationship with each other. I think the way that the family is set up is parents are extremely giving in South Asian families, and that's, I think, why we grow up to be as amazing as we are, I'd like to say. But we can't forget that the marriage is what is the foundation of the family, and the stronger the marriage, the stronger the family. So we encourage couples, even if you have children, to take time for yourselves and strengthen that bond that you have. The second is the parenting piece, and I think this kind of ties into the assimilation, which is the immigrants are usually the parents, and they have a model of how to parent from when they grew up, which was in an entirely different generation and an entirely different country and culture. when we're here in a westernized culture, the children are being involved in Western culture, American culture, as well as the home culture. And that's very difficult to balance. And we see a lot of tension then between parents and children when it comes to parenting in that way.
Right. It's like so many times me as a parent, I have to let my children know that it's not just about us being Indians and your friends being non-Indians. Within the Indian family, the rules are different.
Yeah, exactly.
It's not just every household has different values and different rules, and this is how you do in your house.
Right.
And it's okay when other people are doing what they are doing, and it's okay for them.
Yeah.
But maybe it's not what we plan in our life, and
right.
It's okay that way as well.
Yeah, exactly. It's knowing that it's to be able to accept that you're going to raise your children differently than you were raised, and that is just by nature, you're in a different country. Even bigger than that, it's a different generation. Had you even been in India or in Pakistan or anywhere in South Asia where you grew up, it's a different generation. You're going to raise them differently. Now you're in a different country, a different culture. That adds another layer. So it's important to keep an open mind and to see what are the influences on your child. And the more, kind of going back to what we were talking about before, the closer relationship with and more open relationship you have with your child, the more you're going to understand what those influences are, so you can learn how to integrate them into your parenting style.
So, Parija, there was one thing that I learned and I found it so amazing that I couldn't believe how come I never experienced that growing up, is one-on-one time with the child.
Yes.
It's just father and child, mm-hmm. mother and child. You know,
it's invaluable.
Apart from just doing a family time together,
yeah.
It is so important from children as young as 1 year old or 2 year old, just one and one with one child, one parent, or one child, all the children.
Mm-hmm.
One parent and all the children.
Mm-hmm.
It's just so important to do something once in a while. We are all so busy. We have so many things,
yeah.
So many commitments.
It's tough.
But once in a while, like, you know, just take your children out for an ice cream,
mm-hmm.
or just take them out for a walk.
Yeah,
just something really simple. You can just take a stroll around the neighborhood. But that just one-on-one connection with your child or with your parent is so important.
Absolutely.
And we never, growing up in India or any other countries, we never came up with that concept that I need to spend one-on-one time with my parents.
Yeah.
It was always that they're doing what they're doing, we are doing what we are expected to do, and that's how it is.
Definitely. Yeah, it's invaluable for
the
child.
And then whatever you do it as a family.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. And I think that is also true of the marriage itself, too.
Right.
Is time alone with your spouse to do whatever it is to kind of reconnect. Because once children are entered into the picture, it becomes family-oriented. And it's easy to lose that bond or that connection that you had right before, which is what is the foundation of the family to begin with.
So I see a lot, I see some very good trends. I do see that South Asians have started taking the time just themselves, getting a babysitter or a family member or
wonderful.
A friend to watch the kids and then go out, which was kind of an alien concept in the South Asian community. So I see a lot of that happening a lot. And I think that it's a very good trend, and it's something that people have to remember that they really need to just unwind.
Yeah, and the more you take care of yourself, the better you're going to be able to take care of others.
Of others.
Yeah.
That is so right. So right. So Parijat, now going to back as what are the signs and symptoms that you see? So we talked about child. We talked about teenagers. What about the child? Oh, Parijat, we have a caller here.
Okay.
Welcome to Women Now Hour. May I know who's online?
Hey, it's Smita here. Uma. Hi.
Hi, Smita. How are you?
Hey, good. Parijat, bravo. This is something that I wanted to listen to on radio for a long time. Thank you for sharing your thoughts, and thank you for coming on the show. My question, I suppose, on behalf of everybody is, when do you know is the right time to come to you guys, first of all? And then, do you just stop at counseling and just referring us to somebody else when you feel there is a problem? Or do you do something else other than just counseling, keep in touch with us and, you know, just help us out of situations? What exactly do you do?
So these are great questions. Thanks so much for calling in and asking them. So number one, the time to contact My Sahana is when you have that question in your mind. That is the perfect time to do so. And what we do is we provide education and preventative information to basically empower people to make proper and good and healthy decisions. We do that through information that is culturally sensitive and culturally appropriate. So you can visit our website, mysahana.org, and look up whatever topic it is that you are curious about or interested in or wanting more help on, and kind of educate yourself, inform yourself on what these red flags are, signs, symptoms, questions, anything like that. And then what we do is we get callers or emailers from our readers and followers saying, hey, I read your article on marriage, and I don't think my husband and I are communicating very well at all, and I think it's time that we need some help. How can you help us? We have volunteers in our organization who will then take down your information and find out exactly what you're looking for. And then we have contacts in the community, and it's nationwide, actually. So it's not just in the Bay Area. And we connect you then with people who we think you might benefit most from. Most of the time, it is counselors. And we don't provide in-house counseling right now. Our main focus is education and preventative information. But we do connect you with counselors who are trained with South Asian values and cultures, and oftentimes speak at least one other South Asian language. We connect you with them, and you do the work with them. We also provide podcasts if reading on the internet is, you know, not feasible for you at the time. 10-minute podcasts of quick tips and tricks on how to overcome things in your life, anxiety, stress, depression, marriage issues, anything like that. And again, if you feel like you need more than that, we're happy to connect you with people who can follow through with you.
So, Parijat, when somebody connects with you, do they become part of a support group? Do you keep in touch with them to make sure they are going through the process of healing?
For confidentiality reasons, we let our contacts keep in touch with us.
Okay.
We don't want to constantly be following up with them if they're not comfortable sharing that information.
But right.
If they do wish to continue and stay in communication with us, we are absolutely open to that.
I need to formulate it again. My question was, is there a support group? Is there a support group for certain issues that people kind of join in?
Well, on the same lines, what I was thinking is, do you have discussion forums of, let's say there are parents of teenagers who go through issues, and there could be other people going through similar issues. So do you pool them all together and try to have some kind of a class or a discussion forum where they can share their ideas and you can give them solutions?
Absolutely, yes. So we are in the process of developing workshops and seminars and support groups. At the current time, we found most success in online support via forums as well as webinars to have people come in, because it's anonymous still. So it's a little bit more comfortable, we found, with parents or individuals, couples, anything like that. But yes, if we get enough requests and enough people wanting more in-person support groups, then we are definitely in the process of developing that.
So you can kind of create Teenage Anonymous and Spousal Anonymous and South Asian Cultural Assimilation Anonymous.
Exactly.
And people can help, because I think what is lacking a lot is for people to know that there are other people. Like we mentioned,
yes,
there are other people who are going through this, and there are ways that you can help and support each other.
Yes.
Sometimes you cannot solve the problem. Sometimes you just have to ride the wave and then get over it.
Yeah, and find a way to cope with it, as opposed
find
to solving
it. Cope with it, right.
Fair enough. Well, thank you so much again, Parijat. Thank you for sharing your thoughts. And Uma, great hosting. Thank you.
Thank you, Smita. So, Parijat, we were talking about teenage support. So we are going to take a short break. We will be coming back. Don't go anywhere. You are listening to Uma. We are hosting Parijat from My Sahana on Women Now Radio Zindagi. Call us back at 510-770-1550. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back. Welcome back. This is your host, Uma. We are in studio with Parijat. Parijat, we were talking about before the break, we were talking about what are the specific symptoms of a child who's going through stress and what can we do to help.
So stress, I'm assuming you're using that kind of as a general term any kind of...
Any kind of stress.
Yeah.
School, academics, parents, society, any kind of stress.
Right. Because the reason I'm asking is because mental health issues like depression even and other more serious things, ADHD, obsessive compulsive disorders, all those things, and not quite schizophrenia for children, but they all exist in children as well.
Right.
So what I tell parents and teachers is, if something doesn't seem right, it's worth looking into. And the reason I say it that simply is because a lot of times children, especially the younger ones, are just not able to verbalize quite what's going on, but something is off with them. Maybe they're sleeping differently, they're eating differently. If they used to be very chatty, suddenly they're more quiet. You see a change in their grades, you see a change in their friendships. If something seems off, look into it. And it's not necessarily something physical. They might not actually just be sick. Even if every morning they're complaining to you that they have a stomach ache, it may not be a stomach problem. I used to work with a child who was 10 years old, and from the age of 6, he would every single day complain to his mom, "My stomach hurts. It's killing me. I can't eat. It hurts to go to the bathroom." And she took him to all kinds of doctors, and they just couldn't find anything wrong. And it was after he connected with me, we found out that he was being bullied, actually, at school.
Oh.
And so he was afraid of going to school, and it was manifesting itself through his stomach aches, because that's the way that he could explain it. When we looked a little deeper, he was having other symptoms of anxiety as well, which makes sense if you're afraid of being at school for 8 hours a day.
Yeah, it's a very neurologically stressful situation.
Yeah.
Your heartbeat is up and your blood pressure is probably, you know, I don't know how much of a blood pressure issue a child will have, but
it's
enough,
possible.
Enough to feel, you know, fast heartbeat and all of these symptoms manifesting itself as a stomach ache.
Absolutely, yeah. We see all kinds of physical ailments. Sometimes children become more clumsy and they bump into things, or they'll have fevers, or they'll vomit. They have all kinds of symptoms that seem like they are sick when they're not actually physically ill. And I want to also put out there that just because the student is doing very well in school does not mean that they don't have emotional problems. And I'll say that the flip way, probably easier to understand, is even though a child may be doing well in school, they may still be struggling with something emotionally. So academics is not the only bar by which to measure how well they're doing. I've seen so many children, straight-A students, doing absolutely everything perfectly, wonderfully in school with their extracurriculars, and on paper they look like everything is perfect. And behind the scenes, then you see they're extremely stressed out, or they're depressed, or they're lonely, or they're going through some kind of anxiety problems that nobody is seeing. So it's important to look at the child's whole day, their whole personality, their whole life. You know, are they still maintaining friendships? Are they still sleeping well? Are they still eating well? Do they just generally feel okay? Sometimes the answer is, "I don't know what's wrong, Mom, but I just don't feel good." That's a sign right there that something might be going on.
And that's the time when people should head over to an organization like yours to find out if there is something beyond. I think the first step line action would be to talk to your pediatrician.
Yeah, exactly.
Right? Talk to the pediatrician, and then pediatrician does a physical evaluation to find out what is wrong or not. Like you were saying about the stomachache, I had that issue.
Mm-hmm.
And I think I'm doing TMI, at some point people are going to profile me. But I had that stomach issue. My stomach used to hurt.
Mm-hmm.
And I never knew till I came to U.S. and I felt a lot of discomfort. And my doctor told me, maybe you are lactose intolerant.
Mm.
And so it was not an anxiety issue. It was it was a medical issue.
Exactly.
That my body could not handle the milk protein. And
mm-hmm.
so I had to go off lactose, all dairy product, to realize that everything is fine.
Right.
So the first line of action is to go talk to your pediatrician to rule out any medical issues.
That's right.
And then when you figure out that there is no medical issue, then we need to talk about, okay, what could be? Could it be a mental health could it be something going wrong, stress or something, and then address that.
Exactly.
And then at that time, the parents are, you know, advised to seek help from organization like yours.
Right. And you can even do it simultaneously. You can take a look at our website, look at some of the red flag symptoms for children that might be concerning, and take that to your pediatrician and say, let's check my child out for any kind of physical issues. And do you notice, I'm noticing these three things on this list. What do you think that means? And you can have a more holistic exam that way as well. So the pediatrician is not only looking at your child's
exactly.
body, but the whole picture.
That is right. That is right. So tell me, Parijat, what is the one big myth that you have encountered with, specifically with South Asian parents and children? Like, let's take ADHD.
Mm-hmm.
What is that one big myth that you found that is prevalent among our parents?
I would say, and I don't think this is specific to just South Asians, but it's that boys tend to be rowdy and aggressive, and that's normal, and girls tend to be quiet and kind of introverted, and that's normal, and as long as it fits along those stereotypes, that's fine. The problem is that actually, number one, there's not necessarily that gender split, that girls can also be active and fall into the realm of hyperactive if they have ADHD, and boys can be the opposite as well. They can be quiet, they can be introverted, and fall under the attention deficit side of ADHD as well. So what we are talking about is looking at not just the genders, but how is this affecting their life? You know, it's okay if a girl is more active and a boy is more introverted, but is that getting in the way of their friendships, their family, their sleeping, their eating, their academics? And if so, it needs to be brought up with the pediatrician and possibly a counselor at some point.
Listener, this is all the time we have today. Thank you so much, Parijat. It was so enlightening and so helpful to know that one and most important thing is that you are not alone.
Yes.
There are people, there are ways, there are organizations that are always out there to help you. And a lot of issues also, a lot of time people have insurance issues also.
Mm-hmm.
The insurance doesn't cover. But it doesn't mean that the help is not there.
Exactly.
There are help. There are people, organizations who are going to help you. We would highly encourage you to visit mysahana.com. It has some very, very great articles, resources about mental health, well-being, and awareness. And reach out. Talk to people. Talk to friends. Talk to family. You're not alone, and there are ways that you can deal with the situation that you have in your life. Thank you so much, Parijat. It was an honor having you on our show. I hope our listeners enjoyed our talk. Please call us back with tips and suggestions. You can write to us on our Facebook page, www.facebook.com/WomenNowTV. Leave a comment there. Let us know what you thought about the show. And we'll be back with another thought-stimulating conversation with you next week. Thank you, Parijat.
Thanks, Uma.